You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the third Wisden Cricket Daily podcast on the fourth India-England test at Ranchi. Today was not a good day for England. I'm Yaz Rana and with me today is the Wisden India head of content, Abhishek Mukherjee. England started the day hoping to establish a lead around the 100-run mark, but Kuldeep Yadav and Dhruv Jhurwal's resistance continued long into the morning session. Kuldeep eventually fell for 28 off 131 deliveries as Jhurwal went through the gears, eventually falling for 90, taking India up to 307 within 46 runs of England's first innings total. Ashwin then put in his performance of the series, taking 5 wickets, including Duckett and Pope, in consecutive deliveries with the new ball. Crawley batted well for 60, but with a score on 110 for 3, he was bowled, playing back to Kuldeep. It sparked the dramatic England collapse, the visitors losing their final 7 wickets for just 35 runs. Kuldeep was irresistible, finishing with 4 for 22 off 15 overs. India were left needing 192 to win the test, and in the 8 overs remaining in the evening session, Rohit and Jaiswal made a significant dent into that target, finishing the day on 40 without loss, feasting on several gimmies from the England spinners. Abhishek, let's start with that partnership between Jhurwal and Kuldeep, because it really changed the game. When they came together, India were 7 down, 170 or so runs behind England. And now at the end of the day, India on track to seal the series tomorrow. They were both in very different ways, brilliant and very effective.
Yeah, Jhurwal, I think surpassed all expectations because, see, coming into test cricket, Jhurwal had made only 100 in first-class cricket. And that was against Nagaland, who are one of the weaker side, usually often in the plate group of the Ranji Trophy. So that was a massive 100. But apart from that, he did not have a Ranji Trophy 100. In any first class cricket, he didn't have a 100. So this was his second highest first class score. His glove work against spin will improve over time, but with the bat, he has genuinely come off good. He did not shy away from playing strokes. His footwork against spin was excellent. If you look at the sixes, some of them, he just were very decisive footwork. He came down the pitch and then hit them either straight or with the turn.
It's a pretty cool selection from India because, you know, the talent pool is huge. There are a lot of people with really excellent records. Where do you see his future as an international player? Because he's still only 22, he's in the same under-19 cohort as just Jaiswal. Obviously, Pant's return looms large, I guess, for India. Do you think he's a player who might be able to forge a successful career as a specialist batter?
Yeah, definitely. And while Pant is making a comeback, almost certainly making a comeback in the IPL, it is not sure when he will be able to keep wicket full-fledged at test level. So until he does, Jurel is definitely the front runner. It may be that Pant may play test cricket as a purely as a batter for some time. Because it's not just 20 overs of wicket keeping. This is completely different.
Ashwin had his best day with the ball across the series so far. But I thought, even though it was Ashwin who got the five, I thought Kuldeep was the most... That's the performance I'm going to remember for longer. Yes. He was absolutely sensational. You know, it's 5 years or so, even longer, 7 years since Kuldeep first made his test debut. He's not played a lot, but he's had quite a lot of success when he has played. This is probably the longest run he's had in the side. Obviously, with Ashwin at 37, Jadeja at 35, he looks like the Indian number one spinner in waiting.
Yes, definitely. And I like the fact that Michael Vaughan called him the left-handed Shane Vaughan today. And Vaughan had a huge impact on Kuldeep. I think when Kuldeep got that five-wicket haul in Sydney, he dedicated it to Vaughan. I remember that. And so it was a nice thing. But yes, as you mentioned, Kuldeep is very likely to emerge as India's leading spinner over the years. Another thing, India play five more home tests this year, three against New Zealand, two against Bangladesh. So over that period, Akshar Patel may still try to make a comeback. But Kuldeep can now say after he batted as night watch in both innings in Rajkot. He batted on all 4 days of that test match. And here too, he has batted on, I think, two of the 3 days. And his batting has improved significantly. So he is still not a Jadeja or an Ashwin or an Akshar with the bat. But he is a much better batter. Yeah. But he...
we were talking about this the other day. Just how few wrist spinners there are in Test cricket. If you're looking back in the last 10 years, you know, a few have played. Obviously, Rahane Ahmed has played this series. England have had the odd one get a game or two, but not much more than that. Adil Rashid had a stint. Bishu at West Indies. Swepson's played a little bit for Australia. The main one, really, it would be Yasir Shah, who obviously took 200 in no time for Pakistan. It's obviously a very hard thing to do. To be a wrist spinner in Test cricket. And Kuldeep's had a fair bit of success this series on four quite different pitches, actually. I guess Test 2 and 3 were quite similar, but at least, you know, three different types of surfaces. Why do you think he's successful in a way that very few wrist spinners are able to? Because I know that before the series, a lot of the chat in England, at least, was, you know, if you look historically, wrist spinners have struggled in India. You know, Warne didn't have a lot of success in India.
Slow wrist spinners have genuinely struggled. Even the Indian wrist spinners who have done well, Chandrasekhar, Kumble, they were not conventional wrist spinners. They were quicker than usual. And surprisingly, Afridi did well. Again, a quick bowler, Shahid Afridi, when he bowled in test matches, from whatever I remember. One reason can be that it's not that wrist spinners do poorly, but Indians grow up playing a lot of wrist spin. Wrist spinners have an advantage bowling with the kookaburra because it's not easy to bowl finger spin with an old kookaburra because the seam gets embedded a lot quicker. But SG, the seam stays more pronounced for longer. Which is probably why, it's a theory, but which is probably why wrist spinners don't have the advantage that they have with the kookaburra.
No, that's really interesting. You pinpointed earlier today what the turning point in the day was, and it involved Kuldeep. Talk us through it, because at that point, it wasn't that long ago, England were 110 for three, decent lead, pitch doing a fair bit. It looked like they were still maybe not in control of the test match, but the test match felt in the balance. And then Kuldeep gets Zach Crawley. Talk us through it.
Yeah. So Crawley and Duckett, I mean, they became the first pair of openers, both of whom scored 300 in India, but touring openers to score 300 in 40 years, almost 40 years. So Crawley was looking dangerous today. So 20 of his 60 runs had come through cover. Three of his seven boundaries had been through there. But Kuldeep and Rohit, before that test match, if you hear the stump microphone, they discussed and took that cover fielder away. They made Crawley play that shot against the turn through that empty cover area. He missed and was bowled. And England lost 7 wickets for 35 runs. So that was the moment, I feel, because Crawley was taking the game away. And it is not the first time that England collapsed. I mean, even Ahmedabad 2021, that infamously low-scoring match, England Crawley made 54 out of 112. England were 80 for 3 at one point, and Crawley fell and England collapsed.
Yeah, it's a really interesting series from Crawley, because he's probably been England's most consistent batter, but he's yet to get a really significant score. But there's a lot of chat around the pitch, not because people are saying it's turning too much or anything like that, but more just trying to work out what the pitch is doing, because it feels, for long periods, it feels totally benign, with the odd ball staying low, but staying low at a pace that isn't particularly threatening. But then you have passages of play where batting looks extremely difficult. Today, England lost 35 for 7. There was a similar but less dramatic collapse, I guess, for India yesterday, where they went very slowly for quite a long period of time. What do you make of the pitch? Because at times it looks like scoring runs is totally impossible, but others, survival, as I guess Ollie Robinson showed on the end of day one, the start of day two, and Kuldeep Yadav 24 hours later, that survival, even for lower order players, is eminently possible.
Yeah, so what has happened consistently is the odd ball has kept low. Typically, when you talk about difficult Indian pitches, the odd ball takes off. But here, the uneven, there has been uneven bounce, but it has been normal or low bounce, which is why several wickets have happened because the ball has kept low, and some England wickets like Stokes and a few others, they played from the crease a lot. And that is, both Robinson and Kuldeep, what they did was they played to a plan that they would try play as much as possible on the front foot. So even if the ball kept low, they were safe. And sometimes they would just try to put the bat, try to play outside the line and try to rule out the LBW and everything. There was turn, but not great turn. And to negate the bounce, they played forward. Some England wickets in the second innings, Stokes immediately comes to mind. They happened because they played rooted to the crease. And a perfect example of how to bat on this pitch, I mean, Joe Root demonstrated on day one. So he was playing everything on the front foot and was going back only when he was sure that the ball was not keeping straight. I thought he was brilliant on the first day.
No, absolutely. So do you think that, obviously there is inconsistent bounce, but do you think that the bounce isn't actually that dangerous, and that certain defensive techniques make it look much hazardous than it actually is? Because inconsistent bounce, if it's not particularly fast, doesn't necessarily have to be dangerous. Yeah, the Stokes innings I thought was quite interesting in that he was only at the crease for 13 balls, but it felt like something could happen almost every delivery. He was out LBW twice in that 13 ball period. There's one marginal umpire's call that ironically went in his favour after what he said at the end of the previous test match. And there's also one that was pretty dead, but India and the umpire thought it was bat first rather than pad first, but replays confirmed it was pad first. But you're right to point out, he was sort of hanging on the crease, and even when he was playing forward, it was it wasn't a significant stride forward. So if there was any inconsistent bounce, he was very vulnerable to the ball keeping low. And we saw at the end of the day as well, England had a big LBW shout to Rohit Sharma, and it was similar. Rohit was playing back. It feels like batters can get in trouble on this pitch much more if they're playing back rather than forward.
And in the fourth innings, whenever Hartley tossed anything up, Rohit decisively came on the front foot, sometimes took the ball on the full and just played it. So he seems determined. And the only time England had a serious LBW appeal against him was when Rohit tried to play root, I think, from the crease. So, yeah, I don't think he'll be playing much from the crease to the spinners anymore tomorrow.
Well, that's it for part one. In part two, we'll talk a little bit more about England. Abhishek, there was a weird passage of play in the third session when Folks was batting with Bashir and India were very, very happy to keep the field back. But Folks wouldn't take the single until almost every time the fourth ball of the over. And he'd take the single and then Bashir will block out two. And England was scoring about one run an over for really quite a long time. And it was interesting because the game wasn't really going anywhere, but you guess you could say as well that, you know, every run's important in a game that's potentially going to be quite low scoring. Ashwin eventually gets in with a Karen ball. What did you make of that passage of play?
Yeah, if England win by 10 runs, I think folks... Yeah, I mean, I think he'd be vindicated. But the thing is, yeah, I mean, 10 runs are still more than no runs. And see, there were essentially a couple of options. Go after the bowling or just keep doing whatever he was doing. He actually looked very good. So I was wondering, I think someone even asked, so why not push Folks up the order if this is something he can do? If he can survive and keep getting the singles, why not push him up the order?
As a observer from outside England, do you think that should be the way England go? You know, Folks is he bats in the top five in county cricket. He's very much a classical batter in that way. He's not a great batter with the tail, and the way Bairstow's playing at the moment, it feels like, you know, he's on the verge of a significant score in this Test match, but he sort of counter punches whatever the scenario, whatever the pitch is doing, etc. And you think he'd be someone who would be better with the tail. Would you be tempted to swap them in the order, get Folks up to five or six?
Yeah, I mean, see, if someone can play the shots while batting and farm the strike, they should probably be closer to the tail. So, but Folks clearly can play spin. He played spin today better than most, but he was relying on singles. So he can still do that while batting with the main batters. Instead of doing that, because instead doing that with the tail gets the team, what, 10, 12 runs. But doing that with top order batters, there's a higher probability of getting more runs.
The last eight overs of the day were pivotal in that India made a significant dent on that England target. Tom Hartley bowled several loose deliveries. Rohit was
yes,
ruthless towards him. Do you see there being any way back for England in this game? A lot of the chat before the series and before this game actually was that on pitches that are a bit more inconsistent, it brings England's less experienced spinners into it. But you still need to be accurate. Whatever the pitch is doing, you can't bowl that many bad balls.
Yeah, I think Hartley was too full. So basically, I mean, they were easy pickings for Rohit. If the batter is allowed to take you on the full in the fourth innings, probably not a great length to bowl to. But then again, this is his first series.
Is there any chance for England?
Of course. This pitch can change its course at any point.
It feels like it won't take very long tomorrow morning for India to get themselves into position where it feels like the game is pretty much done. But at the same time, we have seen some dramatic collapses already in this Test match, so not completely.
Also, see, this is in India versus England, but essentially it is going to be a contest between a group of batters and a group of spinners, most of whom were not playing Test cricket a year ago. So, so essentially what they make of this scenario, let's see.
That's a very good point. Well, cheers for your time, Abhishek. We'll be back with a weekly podcast once everything is over in Ranchi tomorrow.
Sports Social Podcast Network.